Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you as always. I'm Jim Blasingame. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. Grace Marie Turner is here. Grace Marie is the president of the Galen Institute. Nobody on the planet, probably in the galaxy, knows as much about healthcare public policy as she does. And I'm proud to say that since 1998, more than 13 years, she's been joining me on the show to talk to us about, to advocate for, to plead for healthcare reform that includes market-based solutions. And we've come a long way together. She's telling the world about this, and we've still got a lot of work to do. Grace Marie, welcome back to the show.
Jim, it's always such a pleasure to be with you, and I just have the greatest admiration for what you do to keep the engine of job creation in this country, small businesses, informed about so many issues that are relevant to them. It's such a great service that you do with this program.
Well, I appreciate that, and I tell you, there's so much to do, Grace Marie, and the health care bill, what's become known as Obamacare, the Patients Affordability Act, or whatever the other name is for it, took a hit this last week. I guess it was last week with the Fifth Court of Appeals out of Atlanta.
It was 11th Circuit Court in Atlanta. Yes, that's right.
That's right. Fifth is out of New Orleans, but so Atlanta, the 11th Court. What happened? What? How did it get there? How did the Obamacare law get there? And who were the participants? And what happened?
Mm-hmm. There are a number of challenges to this law, and one of the primary ones is to the individual mandate. Can the federal government require us to spend our own private money to purchase an expensive product that the government defines? And the government says, yes, of course, it's constitutional. Why is this even an issue? And
their point is it's part of the Commerce Clause, the 14th Amendment, I think it is.
Yes, that the government can basically tell us to do anything through the Commerce mm-hmm. Clause if it affects interstate commerce mm-hmm. or even intrastate, as we learned in several earlier court cases. So the 11th Circuit, the 26 states had challenged the law, and it was really considered. This is really considered to be the primary legal challenge against Obamacare. And the
why is that? Because it has so many friends, so to speak.
Right.
So the 26 brought this together. They were the 26 attorneys general were together in bringing this.
Attorneys general and governors to get the 26 mm-hmm. plus the National Federation of Independent Business plus right. a couple of private individuals.
Right.
So this case was really important. The lower court, the district court judge, the lowest federal court judge that heard this last year, decided in December that not only was the individual mandate unconstitutional, but the whole law was unconstitutional because the government said in its arguments at least 14 times that the whole law can't work without the mandate that everybody be required to purchase health insurance.
And was that the Florida case?
That's the Florida case. Uh-huh. And so the judge said, throw it out. This is the law can't work. But he did say, I will stay the implementation of my ruling pending the appeals court decision. So the appeals court then has met. This is what Friday's ruling was. This was the appeal of Judge Roger Vinson's decision mm-hmm. that the whole law was unconstitutional.
The
appeals court said, you know, Judge Vinson's right. We can find no precedent anywhere that the Commerce Clause has been stretched so far to be able to say that the federal government can tell you that you have to buy health insurance that it defines every month for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so it said the individual mandate is unconstitutional, but they said we can't throw out the whole law. And actually, one of the judges that that voted with the majority was a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
The deciding vote was appointed, not a Democrat, was appointed by President Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
So we were worried that we were going to lose the 11th Circuit decision. This was huge. The administration took a huge hit. Health stocks, really, on Monday and Tuesday have been taking a big hit because mm-hmm. what this means and what it means for small businesses is that now, if the individual mandate were thrown out, then the other parts of the law would stand, which means that health insurance companies would have to sell a health insurance policy to anybody who applies whenever they apply, even if they're on the way to the emergency room, and pay the same price as somebody who's been paying premiums all along.
Right.
What that means is that premiums are going to just absolutely soar.
Right. The mandate would require you to buy insurance so you could pay in, so you would be required to pay into the pool and not just, as Grace Marie said, wait till you got sick and then all of a sudden buy it. If it weren't for the mandate, as the government says, I think it wouldn't work because it doesn't provide the kind of risk pool that you need.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, I totally agree with the court that the individual mandate is unconstitutional. I'm plodding my way through the 300-plus page decision. They wrote a book with their decision. So
wow.
Thoroughly did they want to document this. And so, you know, everything is in just such flux. No one so far is challenging the mandate on businesses. I mean, there's a separate mandate on businesses that they have to provide
mm-hmm.
health insurance. If they have more than 50 employees, they have to provide health insurance, again, that the government dictates and tells them what it is. And we know it's going to be a hugely expensive policy.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how much, you know, this isn't top of mind on the average small business out there because it's still so fuzzy, it's still so amorphous that we don't really know how much it's going to affect us. But this has got to be another one of the uncertainties that's causing small business owners not to hire, not to grow their business. This has got to be at least an element of that.
And there have actually been some surveys that have documented that and saying that, in fact, employers are, especially small businesses, are basically they're having a hiring freeze because they're saying, "How on earth can I add new employees when they think that the federal government may be requiring them to provide a $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 health insurance policy?"
And a lot of businesses out there are in the 40 employee range, or maybe over 50. In the 40 range are saying, I'm not going to hire over 50. The ones over 50 are saying, how can I get back to below 50? This is happening, folks. This is real. Come back. I'm going to ask Grace Marie, has there ever been another law that's been attacked so quickly as this one? And what does all this mean? When is it going to get to the Supreme Court? After these messages, Grace Marie Turner and I will be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.